Good morning, everyone. 早安。Okay, so still most people tend to be late. 大部分人还是会迟到哈。Let me try this. Okay, great. I think finally we will get to the last part of this series talk.我想这年底哈，刚好这个八四规矩松哈，也讲到差不多快要接近尾声了哈。I think my last talk is a couple months ago. So, let's see. Let's refresh a little bit about what we were talking about last time. I remember last time we were in a rush, so I did not explain very much about the content. 那我呢就是等大家的时候呢就是再跟大家复习一下上次讲的内容。那上次因为时间有点赶，所以有一些部分没有讲得很仔细哈。So last time, we talked about, the three aspects of storage quality of the eighth consciousness. So we are talking about eighth consciousness right now. The three aspects are so vast that it's impossible for us to fully understand. 那他讲到说其实第八世有三种藏的功能哈，那这三的藏的功能实在是非常的浩瀚哈，没有办法穷尽哈，就是没有办法让我们真的能够真的把它推究清楚哈。So why is that? Okay. So the first the property of the storage capability is from the subjectivity point of view. The eighth consciousness has the ability to store all the seeds. Mainly, everything that functioned by the first to seventh consciousness will get seeds that can store back to the eighth consciousness.And then the second property is called, from the objectivity part of view, there are two functions. What is called, one is the ability to be perfumed or scented by the first to seventh consciousness to become new seeds. So it become an object.For the first to seventh consciousness, and the previous one is ability to store, and this is the ability to be scented. So one is the subject, the other is the object, and the last one is it has the capability to be grasped by the seventh consciousness as the true self. We have been talking about that. Earlier. So with this three property of the eighth consciousness, basically it tells us what our true mind is. And when it has attachment, then it's defiled, not pure, but when it's purified,And then the eighth consciousness become our pure mind or our true mind. 那他讲到的三藏呢，其实就是能藏、所藏跟执藏哈。那能藏是指比较属于能的部分哈，我们讲能所哈。那能藏的部分呢，就是说。他有能力呢储存所有前七世 抛回来的种子，也就是说前妻是他去相应八四田里面的种子之后，经过了他的操作，然后又产生新的种子回来的时候，他有那个能力就是储存所有的种子。那另外两个呢是属于比较就属于他是属于锁的部分，就是被动的部分呢，他一个是锁藏，就是他被前妻室锁藏，也就是说他可以被前妻室当成是目标，当成是一个目标或是锁缘境，然后来产生功能之后，然后再回藏到第八识，所以它可以藏也可以被藏。那另外一个就是我们常常讲的就是直藏的部分，就是它就是藏就是永总是被第七识执着为我。也就是说第七识都执着第八识为真我。那我们讲的第八识这里是指说有执着不清净的一个状态，那当然他被转世成智是成为清净的时候，他就是我们的本心或是清净心。那这个不清净的跟清净的心其实他还是同一个心，对，同一个心，只是说他有没有执着或是染污这样子。 And then the eighth consciousness is like the ocean, the other seventh consciousness, the waves, and the phenomenal objects, the winds. In other words, our true mind is like a deep ocean. Okay. All the phenomenal objects arise just like a wind sweep on top of the ocean, and then so it generates waves.The big waves, the small waves, and all the waves represent the other seventh consciousness. In other words, the first to seven consciousness is not permanent. It's caused by the phenomenal object. 那讲到说渊生七浪尽为风，就是说我们的第八识就像一个深渊一样。非常浩瀚的一个大海，那当我们产生外境的时候，它就像是海面上起的风，那这风有大风小风，所以它就会把大海呢就会产生大浪跟小浪，产生大波浪小波浪，那这大波浪小波浪呢它代表的就是什么前七识，就叫七浪，前七识。所以从这个比喻来看呢，前七识它不是一个永恒不变的，那它是因为有外境而产生的，的一个波浪。And then we talk about the eighth consciousness can be perfumed or scented by the other seven consciousness and can uphold all the seeds and manifest the seeds intothe body with six organs and the material world. So it has three consequence is that the eighth consciousness holds the seed and the seed can be perfumed or scented. So the seed activated and function and get a new seed and come back stored in the eighth consciousness. So the seed is constantly changed. But it never be the same seed from the previous moment. For example, now we have many, many seeds. But next moment, actually the seed has already changed. And how the seed changed, we will talk about that.Refresh that later. It has the seeds that change with equal quality and the seeds that change with different quality. And from the all the seeds in the eighth consciousness, it also provide information to manifest our body and the environment we perceived. 那这边讲受熏此种跟生气，也就是说八识帖里面呢，八识的第八识呢，它就是它会持有种子，那这个种子呢，就是种子现行之后呢，就是现行之后呢，然后它会借由前七识再产生新的种子，再存回来，那这样的就是种子变现，变现之后产生新的种子再存回来的这个过程呢，它是一直在进行的，就像说可能前一秒钟我们八识帖的种子跟这一秒钟的八识帖的种子，其实它已经不是同一个种子了，它随着因缘已经有在变在熏习了，只是说这个种子呢，它有两类，一种就是说叫做等流种子，就是说你是什么样的种子，它熏熏熏之后它还是什么样的种子，比如说是善的种子、恶的种子或是无忌的种子，那它都还是没有不保持不变。那另外一个呢，就是它是一个什么，就是我们讲的这个异熟种子，等一下再说。那同时呢，这个八识呢，它还有一个功能，就是它会变现我们的根身跟气界，所谓的根身就是我们这有六根可以感知这个世界的这个身体，还有那个被感知的世界，都是由第八识变现而来的。So, from here we know that, our body, which has six organs that can perceive this world, and the world as well, both are manifest through the eighth consciousness. It's from the inside, not from the outside. That's the major point for the Yogacara school, that the concept keep telling us that everything manifests is from our mind inside, not from the outside. 所以这也是唯识学里面呢非常一个主要的一个论点，就是说所有的心识的活动跟外在的世界跟所有的物质的世界，它的产生其实是来自于我们的内心而不是外在。好，那要破除这个外境是真的的这个我们的这个不正见。好，那我们刚刚讲到的就是说then we talk about the seeds in the eighth consciousness. It has different kinds of seeds. The seeds of designation, we talked about that before. And so actually those seeds were perfumed by the other seven consciousness with equal property. Okay, so we translate it as equal habitual tendency. And there are seeds of karma, which are mainly wholesome karma or unwholesome karma. These seeds compose our karma that will be activated when we die, and those seeds will manifest with different property from the wholesome or unwholesome seed. For example, if we are really good person who keep the five precepts, then we will get a body, a human body. And then we will perceive this world as water, mountain, and all that. And if we activate, if we has a lot of unwholesome mental factor that are activated, then the seeds that activated for us when we die, we might have, for example, a hungry ghost body, and the world they perceive is a very dark world, and the water we perceive become a blood, But all the seeds that manifest our body and the environment are neutral seeds. There is no wholesome or unwholesome for this. And this is another important concept for us. So during the dying and rebirth process, the seeds with a different property only manifest when we are through the dying and rebirth process. 那我们刚刚讲到八十田里面的种子，有前期是熏起来的种子，那同时我们还有所谓的叶种子，那这个叶种子呢，它本身就是指的其实是善的种子跟恶的种子，那这个善跟恶的种子呢，它在我们往生的过程之中呢，它会我们叫它异熟种子，那这个善种子跟业种子呢，它会呢去激发这个异熟的种子来现行，这个只有在我们往生要投生的时候呢才会现行的种子叫异熟种子。那它是因为由于强烈的善恶种子去激发这个无忌的种子现行，所以它是属于异熟。那前面的都是善激发善的，恶激发恶的，那唯有在死亡的这个过程中呢，那它会让我们呢现出下一辈子的根生种根生跟气界。那比如说我们守五戒了，然后好乐善布施，那这个善的种子呢，在我们往生的时候呢，那我们就可能会得到人的身体跟这个人所感知的这个世界，比如说有山河大地啊，这样子很美的一个世界。但是如果我们的习气是很不善的，比如说我们奸吝，我们很小气啊，或是很贪心呢，那可能这个被活化的种子呢，它会让我们得到是一个恶鬼的身体跟恶鬼所感知的一个世界，很可能就是在同一个空间里面，它就变得很黑暗，那这个水就变成脓血等等的。但是呢，问题是不管是什么样的根生跟什么样的气界，它是属于无忌的，它没有善恶之分，是我们的业的种子，我们的善心所跟恶心所种下的这个善恶种子呢，它有善恶之别，那这是一个很重要的观念。那所以比如说来讲，就是比如说我们刚刚讲人啊，守五戒会有得人身嘛，this we learned that earlier that the eighth consciousness when we areIn the process of retribution, when we keep the five precepts, we will have a directing karma as to be a human, and if we are angry a lot, and then we might become Asura. Okay. And then if we always do the 10 virtuous deeds, and then we might become heavenly beings, and if we are ignorant, and we will become animal, and if we are jealousy or stingy, and then become ghost, if we did a lot of 10 heinous deeds, then we might become hell beings. So all this wholesome or unwholesome deeds will activate the seeds of our future directing and fulfilling karma. 那也就是说刚刚举的例子，假设我们呢如果守五戒，那在我们往生投生的过程之中呢，因为守五戒的这种善的这个行为呢，那我们会得人生。如果我们很容易生气，就可能变阿修罗；如果我们做十善，可能变天人；如果我们是很无明的、无知的，就可能变成动物；那如果是很嫉妒的、很小气的，变恶鬼。 那如果我们常常做十恶的，就会变成地狱的众生哈。那这是一个所谓的瘾业，好，在我们往生过程之中会产生的瘾业。And we are not just the
seeds of the directing karma will manifest. We also will bring the fulfilling karma with us.
And the directing karma majorly dominated by the eighth consciousness, and the fulfilling karma by the first to sixth consciousness. For example, as a human, this is our directing karma. So we will have a common karma and certain karma. The so-called common karma is, you know, all human beings living in this world on earth.Then we need to breathe air to survive. We need to drink water. And, we need to exercise. We need to feed this body, in order to survive. This is our common karma. And what is the certain karma? I heard two different explanations. One is for human beings, our life averagely no more than 100 years old. So all the human can live approximately 100 or at most 120 years old. Most people die before 100 years old. But if for heavenly being, they might probably live, it depends on what land they live, they might have 1,000 years old.1,000 years or, you know, 10,000 years. It depends. But for our certain karma is we have to die, you know, in 100 years. And some people explain this certain karma as the length of our life. So, for example, if you go to the fortune teller and then they know about your birthday, your name, and then they tell you, oh, you might have 80 years life. So some people, then you probably die at the age of 80. Okay. Some predict it very precisely. Okay. But there are two different interpretation about a certain karma. But the common thing is that for our life, we will not live longer than 120 years or 200 years old. That's our limitation.As a human. And how about the fulfilling karma? So we born and then we might be, you know, for our whole life, we don't need to work hard, but we are rich. And you are born to be beautiful. You're born to be handsome. Okay. That's individual karma. We are all human, but we look differently.And some healthy, some got sick all the time. That's individual karma. And uncertain karma is that it depends on the causes and condition. You might get rich when you do something good and you encounter some good people. But if you don't do something, if you didn't do something good, then you won't encounter that people.And you will not get a chance to get rich, for example. So this uncertain karma really depends on your causes and condition or your practice or something that affect you to make the decision. 那在这里面呢，我们比如说我们因为我们的瘾业哈，生而为人，我们就有人的共业跟定业哈。那共业就是说我们就是必须要呼吸才能生存，那我们必须要怎么样喝水，我们必须要吃东西，我们才可以活下去。好，那这是我们的工业。好，所以为了这些呢，我们常常会很辛苦的要去赚钱哦，要去怎么样的哈。那所谓的定业呢，哈，我有听过两种解释了哈，一种就是说我们生而为人，从古至今哈，大概很少人活超过120岁以上，大概就是100岁以前，大部分的人都会死掉哈。那可是天人他看他
住的天国在哪里。有的人他可以活，有的天人可以一千岁，有的一万岁，不等。那也就是说，生而为人，我们的一个局限就是通常不会活超过一百岁。那另外一种我听到另外一种说法，就是说定业，就是说假设你去找那个很灵的算命的，他把你的生日什么八字算一算，他就说哦，你大概活不过八十岁，大概有的算得很准，就是你差不多八十岁就往生了，如果没有修行的话。那所谓的满业的，那所以这是就是在八识里面就决定了，在我们的第八识里面就决定了。那第一到第六识决定的是什么呢？是满业。所谓的满业就是说圆不圆满啊。那比如说我们大家都生而为人啊，有的人就不用怎么努力就很有钱，有的人再怎么努力还是很穷啊，有的人长得就很好看，有人长得就很丑，对不对？那就是我们有很多不一样的地方，就是我们的不共业。虽然我们的共业是人，可是我们有很多不共业。那另外所谓的不定业，就是说可能呢你有致富的可能，你有这些种子其实还蛮强的，可是问题是如果你发了一个善心帮助了一个人，或是做了一件善事，那因为这个善事呢会有一个贵人出现，然后你就有机会致富。假设说在你一生当中你有机会去做善事，可是你选择不去做，因为你没有做这件善事，所以那个贵人也不会出现在你面前，所以你也不会变得有钱。这叫做不定业，就是看你到底做什么样的选择，有什么样的一个因缘，或是说你有没有修行或是怎么样，这是不定的。其实对我们来讲很多的不定业都操持在我们的手上。So actually this is very important. A lot of time we heard that, you know, sometimes people say that after 40 years old, you are responsible for what you look like. You know, our parents give us this body and genetically give us an outlook.But through the practice, through the good deeds, actually we can change our outlook. And through the practice, actually we can activate some of our good uncertain karma to make our life better. It just depends what we are going to do it or not, if we are going to do it or not. 所以其实在营业的部分我们实在是没有办法做太多的一个改变，但是在满业的部分呢，其实我们是有很多的机会。那比如说以前我常听人家说，40岁以后呢，其实我们要对我们自己的长相负责。40岁以前是因为父母亲生我们嘛，所以遗传啊，那 该长得怎么样就是父母的基因的遗传嘛，可是40岁以后呢，其实是借由我们的修行跟我们的作为，其实我们是可以改变我们的长相的。那另外当然所谓的不定业，好的不定业是不是能够显现呢？其实也是在于操持在我们的手上。那 So what are the wholesome and unwholesome deeds?For example, when we talk about the sixth consciousness, there is called 11 virtuous mental factors. There are faith, diligence, self-respect, regard for the consequence, not attachment, no craving, lack of hatred, all this.Is called the wholesome factor. 那我们有讲到什么，那到底什么是我们应该启动什么善的心所呢？那这边有讲啊，信啊，精进，惭愧，无贪，无嗔，无痴，等等。And what is the unwholesome? The primary unwholesome factors are craving, anger, ignorance, arrogance, suspicions, and wrong view. 那在我们讲到的51个心所里面有讲到6个根本烦恼哈，就是贪嗔痴慢疑恶见哈，那这些就是不善的心所哈。那我们如果常常启动这个不善的心所呢哈，那不好的不定业呢它就会现前哈。Okay, so next we talk about the eighth consciousness. It always leaves the body the last and enter the first among the cycle of life and death. 好，那我们讲到说第八世呢，它是去后来先做主公。好，也就是说往生的时候它最后走，投生的时候它最先到。那这有什么重要性呢？ So what's important for that? If we still remember the 12 links of dependent origination, from the ignorance to volitional formation, and the consciousness enter here when the sperm and egg got fertilized.Okay, the consciousness enter first, and then there's a name and form, become embryo, and then develop six organs, and the six organs gain contact with the environment, generate feeling, and then make discrimination about love and hatred, and then we were grasping, we will try to grasp what we like and throw away what we don't like, and then we possess the karma, and then we have the rebirth cycle of birth and aging and death. Okay, so during this process, the consciousness enter first. So some people ask, what is the Buddhist viewed about abortion? And usually we say, you know, once the sperm and egg got fertilized, it's already alive with consciousness. So we not suggest people to get abortion, because it's already alive, and abortion will become a killing of a living being. Okay. 那在我们十二缘起之里面齁，我们有讲到说从无名行事齁名色。也就是说在精子与卵受精的时候呢，那其实四齁第八世已经进去了齁。已经进去之后呢，然后它开始发育成胚胎齁，然后慢慢发展成有那个器官出来齁。等到器官出来之后呢，它就会跟外界接触之后呢，然后他会有感受，然后他会有爱恨，爱喜欢不喜欢，然后他就会取舍，然后有取舍的这个动作呢，他就产生一种什么，你就有了新的业种子，那这个业种子呢，就会决定你未来的生与老死。那在这个过程当中呢，其实在受精卵的时候呢，其实神识，以我们佛教的理论来讲，受精卵的时候呢，神识就已经进去了哈。那所以我们非常不赞成什么堕胎，是因为即便是受精卵它已经是一个生命体哈，那堕胎就等于是什么，就是一个杀生嘛哈。当然这个决定是对于任何一个父母亲来讲都是一个很痛苦的哈，每个人都有他的因缘，只是说在我们的角度来讲是不太建议堕胎这件事情哈。那离开呢，当我们老死的时候他是最后一个离开哈，那这怎么离开呢？ So when we die and the eighth consciousness leave the last,And how does the eight consciousness leave? Okay. From the sutra, there is a sutra saying that, you know, where the eighth consciousness leaves the body decide where you are reborn. Okay. For example, if, you know, actually when people die, about like, when they die, you touch the parts of the body, the warmest part is where the eighth consciousness leave. For example, if the top of the head cool down the last, then that person probably reborn as a saint. If the eyes cool down the last, means the eighth consciousness leave from the eyes, and that person probably reborn as a heavenly beings. And vice versa, if the eighth consciousness leave the heart, from the heart, then that person become human beings. If from the abdomen, then hungry ghost. If from the knees, probably become animals. And if the eighth consciousness leave from the bottom of the feet, and that person probably go to and become a help beings. 那在宝杂宝经里面有讲到哈，说第八识哈从哪里离开哈，最后离开从哪里离开呢？决定你投身的地方哈。那怎么看？因为它是最后一个离开，所以我们可以检查说，哎，当我们往生的时候，身体会开始冷却嘛哈。那它最晚冷却的地方就是它第八识离开的地方哈。那这边讲到说。顶圣哈，假设第八识从头顶离开，他就会成为圣人。如果从眼睛离开哈，大概就是升天了哈。那如果说是从心脏这边离开，大概就是会成为人。如果呢是从腹部离开，就会成为恶鬼。如果呢是从膝盖离开，就是旁身，就是动物。如果从脚板出的话呢，大概就是成为地狱的众生哈。So, from our tradition, from the Buddhist traditions, when someone died, we will have a chanting for 8 hours, and we tend not to move the body, before 8 hours. And that is the reason, why, because the eighth consciousness is still in the body. And we do not suggest that you freeze the body immediately. Probably we will chant and help the dead people, the eighth consciousness of the dead people, to smoothly leave the body. And through the chanting, we guide the person, you know, generate the wholesome mental factor so that they can reborn as to go to the better realm.那所以当我们在往生的时候呢，我们通常不建议立刻去动这个亡者的身体，或是立刻把它冰起来，是因为大部分的人第八识都还没有离开身体，虽然断气了，第八识还没有离开身体。那我们借由助念，一方面是有足够的时间让这个亡者呢，好的第八识能够顺利的离开身体。那在另外一方面呢，就是说借由念佛能够帮助这个亡者呢产生，就是说引发他的善的心所的业种子，让他能够顺利的到往生善去。 OK, NextWhat happened when we practice and reach the unmoving ground, reach the ground, the Muni stage? Okay, so it says that this eighth consciousness, not until achieving the unmoving ground, the eighth Muni, unmoving ground means the eighth Muni.Will the attachment to the storehouse be fully relinquished? In other words, when we practice and reach the eighth Muni, the unmoving ground, all the attachment to the storehouse, the three property of the storage function, will be fully relinquished. 那这边讲就是说，那第八世在我们呢，比如说在修行的过程，假设我们登地了之后，或是到登地了以后呢，进入圣位的时候呢，那这八世会变成怎么样呢？那这边有讲到说，如果到不动地，就是第八地的时候呢，那它的长，我们刚刚讲的三藏的这个哈，这边有讲哈，就是能长、所长跟执长的这三个功能呢，它就停止了。好 ，and if we can stop the three storage capability, meaning that we let go of the self attachment, and at the same time we are not putting in the new karma seeds, and especially for the ordinary people, the karma seed we put in are actually defiled seeds, not the pure seeds. 那这个三藏的这个我们刚刚讲能长所长执长哈，就等于说它停止了，也就是说我们没有去执着这个我了哈。同时呢，我们也不再放进去或是去操作这个，让这个种子现前呢是有染污的哈。And then if we quickly go through this paradigm again, that the first five consciousness, when the five organs interact with the environment, and then it will pass the message to the sixth consciousness as the object. But this object is not really the object that the five organs perceive. It's actually the object that it pulls out from the database in the eighth consciousness. For example, when you see a cup, actually in your sixth consciousness, you think that you see a cup is actually you have experience of seeing a cup, or you have a memory of seeing a cup. So they pull out the seeds of cup in the eighth consciousness, and then it become the object of the sixth consciousness for the subject part to grasp. And also, once the object so does the subject part, and this subject part who can grasp the object part become object for the seventh consciousness to grasp as the true self, meaning that when you see something and there is someone who see the thing, right, and seventh consciousness will grasp that subject part as I see it, okay, me see the cup, okay, so it become a self attachment. And but for us, when doing the retribution process, especially the seeds of the seeds with different quality will activate it. And these seeds activated generate the subject part and the object part. And the object part contain related to the fulfilling karma and directing karma for the body and word. And this subject part for the sixth consciousness to think that it is our true body and the true world. So this is to explain when this is for ordinary people, but for the people who attending the unmoving ground, they never operating like this. They operating it through their vows. Okay, 那我们先复习一下哈，我们的凡夫哈。这整个心识是怎么操作的哈？就是说五根呢接触五尘哈，得到五识，好产生一个影像， 好，或是声音或什么的哈，那这个影像其实不是真正的，So I forgot to click this. Oops. Okay. 所以这个清锁圆圆呢，哈，其实它是从第八识里面呢去找档案哈，比如说我们看到一个杯子。那在八识前里面，因为我们有看过杯子的种子嘛，他把它抓出来之后呢，啊，变成第六识的相分，好，说哎，我看到了一个杯子，好，那因为有一个杯，那因为他去找他找这个 database 的相分找出来之后呢，那在八识前就同样的同时存在一个见分哦，那这个见分呢就会变成是什么？会变成这个第七识的相分，也就是告诉第七识的见分会去执着第八识的见分为我啦，他就会觉得说，诶，我看到了一个杯子，所以有一个我存在，就有一个我的执着嘛，然后我们凡夫呢，在往生的过程之中呢，那个一熟种子被一熟种子现行的时候呢，那他一样的会激发一个以激发哈什么前满业，就是隐业跟满业的一个相分，好，然后让第六识觉得说，哎，这个根身跟气界哈是真的，我的身体跟这个世界，好，那这是凡夫，但是对，如果登到八地以后呢，他就不是这样子操作了哈。So when we get to the eighth Muni, from the figure, we see that all the obstacle of vexation, the self-vexation got terminated. So here, from the sixth consciousness, you know, all the differentiation, all the vexation from differentiation got terminated. When we get to the eighth Muni, and the obstacles, innatively arised self-vexation got terminated, and only left the innately arised obstacle of concept, which is Dharma. 那在这个图就是大略告诉大家说，那当我们在初地的时候呢，我们是断什么分别起的我执跟法执，到第八地的时候呢，会断什么俱生起的我执，也就是说到第八地的时候，我执都断了，只剩下俱生起的法执。好，那这个有什么重要性呢？ So means when we get to the eighth Muni, in the eighth consciousness,the subject and object got manifest through the vows, not through the seeds of different property. So Bodhisattva, when the Bodhisattva reach the eighth Muni, they can manifest as they want, whatever they want. For example, they want to come to our human world to help us,then they just easily change their body to a human body and live in this world and stay with us and help us. But if then they have a vow to help the hell beings like Earth Store Bodhisattva, and then he can go to the hell and manifest as the hell being and help them. And they basically, the manifestation of the body and the environment, not by their karma, but by their vows. Okay. So this is for the Bodhisattva who reached the eighth Muni. So 登八地的菩萨呢，他的一熟种子哈，他要现行的时候，不再是因为什么，因为他没有我执了哈，所以他不是由业力来呈现他要有什么样的身体，活在什么样的世界，好，他是借由他的愿力，好，第八地的菩萨是愿圆满嘛，好，借由愿力，然后他 比如说他要到我们人间来度化众生，他就变成人的身体跟我们居住在一起，好，然后来帮助我们。假设是像地藏王菩萨常常要去地狱的度众生的，那他常常就可以什么变成地狱世界的身体，好，在地狱里面救度众生。那同样的，看他是什么在要去救天人的啦，或是要去救哪里呢，他就可以由他的愿力来千百亿化身。那我们人就没有办法，因为我们的身体要有一个身体，就是用因为业力来决定我们的身体跟我们的世界。可是菩萨呢，他的千百亿化身，他有这个能力，是因为他已经没有了我执之后呢，他的一手种子可以经由愿力来千百亿化身。所以呢，我们 we say that the Bodhisattva above the eighth Muni, they can transform bodies by vow, their vows. So for the Bodhisattvas, Pratyeka Buddhas and Sravaka Buddhas, they can drive the seeds of the eighth consciousness to manifest as their vows to become heavenly beings, asura, human, animal, hungry ghosts, and hell beings. 那也就是说，这个图就是讲说呢，声闻缘觉跟菩萨就是登八地以上的呢，他可以藉由愿力来启动他八识田里面的什么一收种子现行随愿来启动他八识田里面的一收种子现行，看要成为天人啊、阿修罗啊、人啊、畜生、恶鬼、地狱，他都可以那菩萨没有一定的身体了他就是千百亿化身，看他要去哪里And then, when the eighth consciousness, reached the stage of the so-called Virja path, then the manifestation of the Vipaka is fully dismissed. I'm sorry, I have to use the Sanskrit term, because I don't know how to translate, properly. The Virja path, is after the tenth Muni. It's almost, reached the Buddhahood. And the Vipaka means the seeds of the different property that can manifest our body and environment. In other words, when we reach above the 10th Muni here, you know, 8th Muni, we terminate all the self-attachment. But when we reach the 10th Muni, even the Dharma attachment is gone. So there is no attachment whatsoever. At this stage, even the seeds that to manifest as the body and the environment is gone. And what does that mean? What would happen to Buddha? They have no body and no specific road. It's not that they don't exist. It's a very supreme, profound stage that we cannot imagine. 那我们刚刚讲金刚道后一手空意思就是说，当我们到金刚道的时候呢，就是成佛了一手空就是说一手种子就空了，没有不再起作用菩萨还需要一手种子来变现他的身体跟他去的世界，对不对？可是到成佛以后，他不需要这个变现这个身体跟一个世界，也就是说他就是法身佛，就是没有身体，没有形象，也没有所谓的存在的一个物质的世界。那这不代表说它不存在，没有了，不是的，而是这是一个非常的，其实这是一个我们本来存在的一个状态，就是说它没有形象， 然后它也没有没有物质跟心的一种分别哈。那这是一个非常非常就是我们凡夫很难想象的一个境界。And so here, even the last Dharma attachment is gone. And so what would happen to the eighth consciousness? Here, there is a explanation, the eighth consciousness has three names. Depends on the achievement we attain, okay? For ordinary people, the eighth consciousness, we call it eighth consciousness, okay, or the alaya. Even, we see the path, we attain the first to seventh munis, okay, the eighth consciousness is still called alaya. And this alaya, the eighth consciousness, has the self and dharma attachment innately arised. Here. Okay, this has all the dharma and self attachment differentially arise or innately arise. Okay. And so remember that when we call alaya for the eighth consciousness, means that that person, that practitioner is below the eighth muni, okay. But when we get to the eighth muni, we have no self-attachment, it's only have the dharma attachment that innately arise, and that's called vipaka. The eighth consciousness changes its name to be Vipaka, meaning that it only has the power to change their body and the environment. And when they get to the so-called the ultimate stage, and the eighth consciousness changes its name to Adana. Okay, so this means it's forever exist. No matter what stage you are, it just exists, okay? But no attachment. 那这张就是告诉我们说，其实呢，八识有三个名字。那这个名字就是依我们修行的层次哈，来命名这个八识哈。比如说，我们在凡夫的时候就讲第八识嘛哈。那这个时候，我们从第七地、八地以下，就是从七地以下呢，第八识都叫我爱执常现行位，哈、哦，就是说，里面有很多的我执跟我爱在里面的哈、哦，当然程度不同哈、哦，依修行的层次，但是我们通常都叫它阿赖耶识，所以大家如果大家听到称第八识是阿赖耶识的时候，通常就是在从七地以下这样子哈。哦，当我们修正到第八地以后呢，我们就改称它叫做一熟识，就是它只有一熟的一个功能，就是菩萨嘛，它需要一熟，就是一熟业果未来依愿变现，就是一熟，看要变什么样的身体啊，在存在什么样的世界。然后我们在修行更高，到了究竟位的时候呢，那第八识就叫做什么阿陀那识。所以佛的第八识叫做阿陀那识，它是相续知识位，就是它就是一直这样子存在。那这是第八识的三个名词。 These are the three names for the eighth consciousness depending on the attainment we are at. So the last sentence about the eighth consciousness is that hereafter, after we attain in the Buddhahood, the great perfect mirror wisdom and the undefiled consciousness manifest at the same time. It pervasively shines through all the universes in the ten directions. So these are the stage that I just mentioned. I don't think I can explain very precisely. Basically, when we get to the Buddhahood, we call it the great perfect mirror wisdom. It's because it's just like a mirror without defilement. It can perfectly reflect what the thing is. And the eighth consciousness we were talking about is defiled, actually. And it become undefiled. So it happened at the same time. And when we have this wisdom, and when our consciousness is undefiled, and it has the property to shine through all the universe in the 10 directions. You know, it's just like the light. The light has the power, has the limitation. For example, we cannot see the light in Manhattan right now because, you know, the light bulb, we cannot see it. The intensity of the light decreases through the distance, right? But the wisdom, and if some good people, if we are around the nice people, we can feel their kindness, right? They can help us because we are close. But if someone, your family, your parents are far away from other country, when you need help, they cannot help you because this is the distance limitation, right? And this is analogy, but for the Buddha, their wisdom has no limitation, no time and space limitation. You know, if your parents pass away, they cannot help you because they are gone. But for Buddha, there is no this life and next life and past life. They have no limitation of space and time and no discrimination about close and not close. It's evenly shines through all the universe in the 10 directions and to all the sentient beings. That's what we are talking about. When the Buddha has no, what? Not driven by the manifestation of the seeds with different quality. See, the Buddha, Bodhisattva need to, if they want to help us, they need to manifest a human body, come to our world to help us. And Buddha doesn't need that. They just manifest as the causes and conditions. And they don't feel that they are helping people. And they don't feel that there is a people that is helped. No subjectivity, no objectivity whatsoever. And this kind of wisdom, only Buddha has it. 那大圆无垢同时发普照十方尘刹中，就在讲说，这时候呢，到了佛的境界的时候呢，其实就是大圆净智。所谓的大圆净智，就是它没有任何的瑕疵，它可以完全的显现烦躁。好，然后可以显，那因为它的八识心识呢，没有任何的染污，好，所以它是这个。 智慧跟清净心是同时显现的。那这个时候就是说，很多人就说，我的心心如止水，但是它是没有智慧的功能。佛不是，它不是，所以它不是说就不存在了，它还有一个大圆净智的功能，而且它呢，可普照十方尘刹中，普遍平等的。 照十方尘刹中的世界跟众生。那比如说我们举个例子，我们现在看到这个灯很亮，对不对？但是我们没有办法看到曼哈顿的灯啊，为什么？这么远，一灯光一照，可能隔一栋楼你就看不见了。可是这里的光明不是，它平等普遍的照所有的，它没有空间与时间的限制。那菩萨， 即便登八地了，他还需要易熟识的功能。比如说，我需要帮忙了，他 他必须用一手医院来变成一个人，还得到我们的人间来，到我的旁边来帮我。佛不用，他没有空间与时间的限制。那更高一个层次是说，他是什么？任运自在，任运就是有需要他他就变现，没有需要他他就不变现。而且在他来讲，他没有帮助众生这件事，也没有被帮助的众生存在。这个境界是不是我们凡夫所能想象的但是他有智慧的功能，他有帮助众生的功能，可是在他对他来讲，他没有这样的一个观念，可是他还是有这样的一个功能存在。 So this is the end of this sutra, the sastra, but we need to go back to how can we reach, how can we make our eighth consciousness pure. You see, we always say that the transformation of the sixth and seventh consciousness are the causes for the first to fifth and the eighth consciousness to transform as a result. In other words, the first to fifth consciousness and the eighth consciousness, the purification of this sixth, the first to fifth and the eighth consciousness depends on the transformation of the sixth and seventh consciousness. We need to work on our sixth and seventh consciousness in order to purify the other consciousness. 那我们常常讲说，我们的八思规矩中讲到刚刚已经结束哈，可是我们现在必须回头过来讲。为什么讲唯识讲那么多？最主要是因为我们想成佛嘛。那我们想我们的八识嘛，能够等到什么大圆净智，能够没有染污嘛。那这怎么做到呢？那我们常常听到一句话叫做六七因中转，五八果上缘。也就是说，其实我们要在六七识上下功夫，去转六七识。那五跟前五识跟第八识，它自然而然在果上就圆满了。所以第六识跟第七识是我们要努力的目标，就是去转，这是我们可以修行的一个着力点。So the sixth and seventh consciousness are the target, are the main object for us to practice on. So when we practice, the consciousness will transform into wisdom. The first five consciousness will transform to the wisdom of unrestricted activity. We need this wisdom so that we can have function to operate our body or to function so that we can help sentient beings. And the sixth consciousness will transfer into wondrous observing wisdom. Usually, we use our karma or habit to make discrimination about what we perceived. But we really need to transform this habitual tendency into a really wondrous observing wisdom so that we are not fooled by what we perceived. Okay. And how, if after we transform the seventh consciousness, it will become the wisdom of knowing the nature of essential identity. Means you equally know about, you have the wisdom to know about the equality of the eighth consciousness. Otherwise, our seventh consciousness will grasp those that manifest driven by our directing karma and fulfilling karma. And then the eighth consciousness, when the seventh, sixth and seventh are transformed, the eighth consciousness automatically become the great perfect mirror wisdom. 所以在转世成智的过程中前五识呢 它会转成什么？成所作智。成所作智是非常重要，是说即便我们哈，是登极地了哈，要帮助众生的时候，我们还是需要什么？还是需要这个前五识来，好，比如说我要扶你一把，我还需要一个手嘛，我才能够扶你嘛，好，所以还是需要这个成所作智。那第六识呢？当我们修行，好，就会变成一个妙观杂智。那我们没有修行呢，我们的第六识哈，常常就是被我们的什么业力呀、啊，或是我们的习性哈，来针对我们所接触到的外境做判断，好，做什么分别，而是不智之举。好，我们没有真正的妙观察到外境的真相是什么，然后我们被外境呢什么愚弄。好，那第七识呢是平等性智。好，因为它不平等，它执着第八识里面的什么见分为我。那第八识的见分由何而来呢？当然就是第八识的种子现前嘛，现前之后它就分成见分跟相分。那第八识现前的东西它执着为我，没有现前的它就不知道，好，它会执着第八识里面某一个部分为我，那就没有办法达到什么。其实第八识好，所有的东西都是它就没有办法有一个平等性质，好，它就会执着某一个是这个是我，这个不是我，好，它就有这样的一个分别。那第八识呢，它就是说在六七识能转的时候呢，它就会成为一个自然而然就成为一个大圆镜智了哈。那 so we mentioned about that we need to really focus on the sixth and seventh consciousness, but among these two, actually what we can work on is the sixth consciousness, because the seventh consciousness is so subtle, we cannot even aware of it, let alone.You know, practice on it. So we really need to focus on the practice, on our sixth consciousness. 那要在六七上四上下功夫，好，其实第七识太微细了，我们根本就没有办法觉察到它的存在，所以在修行上没有办法成立为我们的着力点。所以真的对我们凡夫来讲，修行就是要在第六识上下功夫。And then we come back to the five stages to the Buddhahood, in this Yogacara school. It emphasized that for ordinary people to the Buddhahood, there are five stages. The first stage is supplement stages, which we need to, learn something, so that we have, the supplement to carry on through to the Buddhahood, and then we need to reinforcement the power of reinforcement, and then we finally see the past, and we attend the first Muni, and we still need to work on it. I practice the 10 paramita, and from the first Muni to 10 Munis until the Buddhahood. So this is a 1, 2, 3. The eighth Muni. This process is called the practice on the path. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stages for practice attaining the Buddhahood in the Yogacara school. 那我们常常讲就是唯识五位哈，就是唯识学里面它非常强调有五个阶位哈，是我们修行的一个 landmark 哈。那从资粮位哈，就是常就是去远行的，就要带点食物嘛哈，不然带点水嘛哈，就储藏资粮，然后我们还要精进用功哈，然后我们才可能见到哈，就是登初地哈，然后在初地到佛果位的时候呢，这有十波罗蜜要修，就是修道位哈，所以从资粮位、加行位、见道位、修道位叫究竟位，有五个位。好，五个阶位哈，要去修行哈。And then the first stage, the stage of supplement. See what we need to do: accumulate merits and wisdom, initiate bodhicitta, practice bodhisattva path, practice six paramita, practice four ways of delivering sentient beings, practice four unlimited aspects of mind, practice the seven aids to enlightenment, etc. There are a lot of things that we need to learn. Okay. So all of us are at this stage. Okay. 那在资粮位里面呢、哦、就常常就说我们要修福修慧啊，累积资粮，对不对？我们要发菩提心，行菩萨道，要修六度，修四摄，修四无量心，三十七道品等等等，有没有？所以我们大部分人都还在累积资粮嘛、哦、And the next the reinforcement stage that we have four stage warming, summit, persistent, and foremost. This I explained in the previous talk, but basically I give a motorcycling travel as example, you know, so that this, you have the supplement, but you really need to work very hard, diligently, in order to see the path. Okay. 那在这个加行位的时候，我曾经用那个骑摩托车旅行的故事哈、哦，跟大家讲说，你资粮都具备好了，你得启动摩托车，你得开嘛哈、哦。那你在开摩托车从纽约到洛杉矶的过程中，有很多的过程，你必须要好、哦、精进，不间断，不懈怠嘛哈、哦，然后你才可能真正到达哈、哦，到达了这个见导位哈、哦。And this we talk about we need to work on is the sixth consciousness. You know, like the sixth consciousness with six dust and six organs, we can either generate wholesome factors or harmonize with unwholesome mind or impure mind. And this is decided by the sixth consciousness. So in our everyday life, we really need to observe ourselves, you know, what kind of mind, mental factor we initiated when we encounter something, especially something we don't like. Okay. When we see some bad social news, what kind of mental factor we activated? And this will become a habit and become a new seed that implement into our eighth consciousness.那我们提到说其实是第六识决定好，当我们遇到外境的时候，我们是启动善心锁还是不善心锁，还是染污的心锁，好，那这个部分就是我们在日常生活中必须要常常关照自己的好，当我们看到社会不好的社会新闻的时候，那我们到底是启动什么样的心锁，种了什么样的种子在我们的八识田里面好。 And talking about the sixth consciousnessAnd the most important part, the mental factor that related to the eighth consciousness is the volition. It's actually the entity of the karma that will activate our body, speech, and mind and accumulate the karma. 那在第六识里面呢，最重要的又是思心所。这个思心所其实是业的什么？业的字体。好，它能够驱动我们的身口意三业，然后呢决定我们的什么新的业是什么。 Now the problem is the karma we generate is the karma with outflow or the karma without outflow. What's the differences between these two karma? 好，那现在最重要的问题是说，当我们在造业的过程中，虽然我们启动了善心所，好，做了好的身口意三业，累积了好的业，可是到底是有漏业还是无漏业呢？当我们在修行的过程中，我们是累积了有漏的业还是无漏的业？我们到底是累积了呢人天福报还是成佛的资粮？ So this karma without outflow and with outflow,All the good deeds, all the good, wholesome factors that we initiated. We have good body, speech, and mind. We have good karma. But the problem is, this good karma that we accumulate is with outflow or without outflow. Without outflow, is that the merits for become better realms, go to better bit realm, or it's the base for us to achieving the Buddhahood, that we need really need to put it in our mind. For example, the first Muni is actually the perfection of generosity. When I first see this many years ago, I just very amazed by why practice offering, practice generosity can attain the first Muni. You see, we usually donate money, we help others, we do a lot of good things, we, you know, offering, helping, contributing. And how does we make this activity become the base to attend the first Muni, but not, you know, become 10 wondrous deeds to become heavenly beings? 好，那我们举个例子哈，叫第一初地来讲哈，我们讲布施圆满哈，登初地哈。我几年前看到这个的时候，我就不理解，我说布施圆满为什么可以登初地？我们常常捐钱嘛哈，做布施嘛哈，帮助他人嘛，哈，奉献嘛哈，说哎奇怪，这为什么可以登初地？好，那我们常常不是讲，假设我们做十善，十善第一个也是布施嘛，施设法也是讲布施嘛，很多都是布施。诶，布施，那可是十善不是就是去什么，去人天吗？所以当我们在做布施的时候，我们要思考说，我们怎么做布施，怎么样的布施变成人天善法，怎么样的布施变成是无漏的善业，是成佛的资粮呢？The same thing, how we keep our precepts, how we, practice patience, how we practice diligently, how we practice meditative concentration, how we practice wisdom or a skillful means. And those practice will not become, the merits, the karma with outflow, but without outflow. 也就是说，当我们在修持布施持戒精忍辱精进禅定智慧善巧方便的时候呢，那什么样的状况下它是有漏的，什么样的状况它是无漏的？ For example,Prostration. We prostrate all the time, every day. Will prostration make you become Buddha? 我们每天拜佛吗？哈，啊，拜佛可以让你成佛吗？ According to the sutra, yes. But how many people attaining the Buddhahood through prostrating to the Buddha?How we prostrate to the Buddha. If we are only begging something, if we think that this is the Buddha, a solid Buddha in front of you, if you cannot really prostrate to the so-called Buddha mind, you never reach the Buddhahood through prostrate to the Buddha. 那譬如说我们每天拜佛嘛，哈，经典上说可以啊，拜佛可以拜到成佛，可是问题是我们多少人是因为拜佛成佛的，我们多少人因为念佛成佛了？很少很少呢，哦，顶多是生西方极乐世界嘛，那继续念继续拜嘛，哈，那到底要怎么样拜佛，怎么样念佛，他才可以让我们真正的成佛？假设我们拜他就哎呦有求，我要求这个求那个，好，或是说啊他是一个有形的佛，他就是一个怎么样的佛，我们没有办法真正拜到 真正的佛心哦，没有办法跟真的佛心相应，我们就没有办法成佛嘛，哈。也就是说，我们的拜佛是有漏的。那有漏，什么是有漏的拜佛？什么是无漏的拜佛？这是我们要好好思量的。就是在我们每天的日常生活中，修行要怎么样变成是无漏的，而不是有漏的。So the main question for us to contemplate, I don't know the right answer either. Everyday life, we read the sutra, we read the Buddhist book, and Buddha taught us many ways to practice. And how can we make our practice become a merit without outflow, a karma without outflow, not the karma with outflow.Or the karma just for, you know, the merits to become heavenly beings. 所以这是就是说如何，这是我们要常常一举一动所有的修行，包括供佛啦，拜斋啦，任何做义工，任何的一种修行都可以让我们成佛。可是问题是我们都把它变成是有漏的，好，常常一生气就前功尽弃，火烧功德林，这个我们常常做嘛。 OK, the 8th, 9th, 10th is the aspiration, power, and the practice of primordial wisdom, the perfection of this. 那八地九地十地嘛，就是愿圆满，力圆满，智圆满嘛。所以我们常常讲说大菩萨有没有，谁啊？观音菩萨、普贤菩萨，有没有大师？都是愿圆满的八地以上的菩萨了，哈。所以他们都可以什么千百亿化，至少32应化身嘛，哈。不能像佛那样千百亿了，哈。千百亿其实就是指我不可说不可说这样子，哈。但是就是至少佛都菩萨都可以化很多身来度众生嘛。 So we now talk about the aspiration or the vows, all the big bodhisattva, like Guanyin bodhisattva, Erastor bodhisattva, and all the major bodhisattva, at least attaining the 8th muni, they fulfill their vows and they can transform into different body to help different beings. Okay, this will be the concluding, a slide. So I aligned. This is the 8th consciousness, different stages of 8th consciousness, and these are the practice of different stages of the 6th consciousness. So through the practice of the 6th consciousness, the 8th consciousness transform to different stages. So for ordinary people,we try hard to suppress both attachment from differentiation or discrimination or judgment. And then when we attaining the first muni, our sixth consciousness has the entry level of observing wisdom that can terminate the self and Dharma attachment from differentiation. And when we through the practice, we start to suppress the self and Dharma attachment innatively arise, not from the outside environment, okay? It innatively arrives. So sometimes when we meditate, nothing interact with us, we still have what? Fixation arise. It's innatively arise, okay? And then,when we reach the 8th muni, we generate intermediate level of wondrous observation. And at this point, we terminate the self-attachment innately arise. when the 6th consciousness generate attaining the supreme wondrous observing wisdom, then all the, even the Dharma attachment innately arise, terminate, got terminated. And at that stage, all the 8th consciousness transform into the pure wisdom. So, These are the five stages for the for practice in Yogacara school. Let me see. And I think I finished my talk today about this sastra, and come back to the sixth consciousness is trying to remind you that, you know, actually what we can work on is our sixth consciousness. We have to be mindful about how we operate our mind, or how we mental factor we initiate in our daily life when we encounter all the things. 那我今天用这张来结束哈，这个八四规矩颂哈，哎，从第八四跟第六四哈，就是结合就放在一起，是因为要再次强调，我们要互相提醒说，其实修行的重点在第六四，好，所以在日常生活中，我们任何的一个跟外境跟内在的一个互动的过程中，我们要常常非常警觉我们怎么样操作我们的心，好，我们到底启动了什么样的心锁，累积了什么样的种子跟业力，好，那时常的提醒，然后希望能够再借由第六世呢，好的转世成智呢，那来带动所有其他的事都一起转世成智。好，好，谢谢大家。OK，Thank you。In January, I still have a talk about consciousness, and I'm thinking that I would like to share with you some of the modern concept about.Or scientific concept about consciousness, and relate them to the Buddhist perspective of consciousness, and I find that some of them fit quite well. Okay, 那我一月还有一次哈，还是讲为事，还是讲心事哈。那我可能会找当今哈，就是对于 consciousness 的一个观念，还有就是从科学的角度上来讲。心事是怎么一回事的，然后来跟我们佛教哈，这个两千多年前的佛陀教我们的东西哈，它其实是蛮相应的，蛮不错的哈。好 ，Thank you。